Maseches Demai, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, 1-4. The last Mishnah, the Perek, that discusses leniencies which apply to Demai. Here, the main point is that Demai is actually forbidden to be eaten until one ties it properly, as per the rules we described before, getting out the Trumas Meiser and the Meiser Sheni, the Kedusha Meiser Sheni anyways. And therefore, one ought not eat it without doing that stuff. So the question there is, can Demai be used, or what happens if one does eat Demai, even though he wasn't supposed to? Now, we'll be lenient here, as you'll see in this mission, in a number of cases. The reason why we're lenient is because, in truth, as we'll see in the next parak, a person who's an ani, who's poor, is allowed to eat Demai without further tithes. Because, as we discussed before, Demai is midoraisa, okay to be eaten as is, and was only forbidden rabbinically, either because it's a suffix or because the rabbi said people should take tithing more seriously and not rely on the thin majority of people who tithe properly. Be that as it may, here the Mishnah says, Hademai, when it comes to Demai, Ma'arvinbo, you can use it as an Eruv. Now, when we speak about Eruv here, we're talking about two separate things that really are rather unrelated. One is Eruv Tchumen and one is an Eruv Chatzeros. I'll discuss them both. An Eruv Tchumen is got to do with the fact that one may not go beyond 2,000 almost, beyond the boundaries of the place where of his town, his Makom Shvisa, his home base for Shabbos. And let's say, for argument's sake, he wants to go to a bris in the next town over, and that next town over is 3,000 almost away from the edge of his town, so therefore he couldn't go the distance on Shabbos. That's a prohibition of going outside of the Tchum, beyond the boundary. However, a person could set up a Makom Shvisa, a home base for Shabbos, elsewhere than his home, like with a picnic basket in the middle between the two cities, let's say for argument's sake, in the very middle at 1,500 amos from each. And since that is his Makom Shvisa, his home for Shabbos, and both cities are within the Tchum now, within the borders of the 2,000 amos, he can go freely between one town and the other town. So the ability to merge those two domains is called Eruv, to merge, Tchumen, domains. And to do so, he has to have food that's edible for him placed in that place where he wants his home base to be on Erev Shabbos when Shabbos comes in. So since the food needs to be edible, and if it's inedible, forbidden to be eaten, then it would not constitute a valid Erev Tchumen. The Mishnah is saying if he set up Demai food as his food for his Erev Tchumen, it still works because really a person could eat Demai under certain circumstances. Like, for example, if at any time he wants to, he could just mafkir his nechasim, he could renounce ownership to all his property, and then he would be an ani, a poor person, and allowed to eat Demai. Therefore, the Mishnah says one could use Demai as his Erev Tchumen. The other kind of Erev we're talking about here is an Erev Chatzeros, a merging of different Chatzeros. Here, what that is the Torah forbade to transfer from one domain, a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, to another domain, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, from private to public domain on Shabbos. The rabbis extended that, however, to say, even if you're going from one private domain to another private domain, let's say, for example, you share a common backyard or share a lobby or something in a building or in your cul-de-sac, a chatzer is a shared yard. So since that yard really, although it might be legally a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it has walls around it, like the lobby of a hotel or something, or a fenced-in backyard, nevertheless, it doesn't feel like a real private domain, in as much as various people from the little neighborhood around the yard can use it equally. So the rabbi said that if you're going to use a common space, which is legally Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but feels psychologically like a shared, more public area, you have to unite those areas. And the way you unite it is with an Eruv. Now, an Eruv, people think, means the sticks and poles that go around the area. That's not an Eruv, that's just setting up machitzas, the walls around the area that will be enclosed and defined as the single unified area. But what unifies that area, once the machitzas, the walls, the boundaries are up, is some shared food which everyone has equal right and access to. And that has to be, in the case of Erev Chatzeros anyways, bread. So here we're saying, and it has to be edible food, edible bread. If it would be forbidden bread, it wouldn't work. So here we're saying, if the bread that's used to make the Erev Chatzeros is Demai bread, even though really lechadchila a person shouldn't eat their bread without taking the tithes first, it still works to make an erev because in theory anybody who wanted to could eat their bread by first renouncing ownership to all his possessions and then becoming an ani and then being allowed to eat that bread without further tithing. Mishnah continues on. You can make a shetufim vaos, which is a similar idea. It's combining of alleyways instead of a chatzer, which is shared by different people. The alleyways, the way that the urban planning was in the time of Chazal, there were a number of chatzeros, you know, cul-de-sac yard type areas with residents around a single mavui, a single alleyway, and those the mavui would lead to Rishus HaRav, the main road. In any case, the alleyway, that mavui, could also be built up to be Rishus HaYachid Midoraisa, but sure feels like Rishus HaRav because all sorts of strangers walk around there between, you know, other people's neighborhoods, other people's chatzeros, and therefore, the rabbi said, you can't carry in the mavui, even if it's got walls around it, unless you have a shituf, something that unites the people in the alleyway, which would be food, and here we're saying that food must be edible, and therefore you might have thought it's a problem to use demai food as your combining element, your shituf and mavos, but the Mishnah says it's okay since the same reasons above. In theory, people could eat it by first relinquishing their ownership, so therefore you can use demai as the food for your shituf and mavos, and will work. The next line of the Mishnah, umuvarchen alav, you're going to misunderstand if you don't pay attention. It does not mean you make a blessing on it when you tithe it. No, not true. There's no blessing to be made when one separates the tithes out of doubt from demai. Umuvarchen alav, and one blesses on it, is referring to making, according to Bartanura, a bracha achrona, and others a bracha rishona, as well, on the demai. That is to say, normally, when one eats forbidden food, he may not make a bracha on it before eating it because that is blasphemous. It's forbidden. And how do you thank Hashem for doing something that Hashem didn't allow you to want you to do and that's destructive to your person, your soul? But in the case of demai, we're saying since there is a way where you could make it permissible to eat, it's not so bad that if one did eat it, he wouldn't make a bracha achrona on it. Rather, he does, says the Bartanura, make a bracha achrona, and according to others, bracha rishona as well. Umazamnalav, one makes a zimun on his demai. That is to say, if people had a meal of demai bread and they did it in a prohibited way, they were bad people, they broke the law. Nevertheless, one, after the fact, would make a zimun, meaning if three men ate together, they would do the zimun invitation before the benching because they're considered still be unified. There, one might have a havamina that since it's forbidden, one can't really be unified in a Torah concept way if he is a partner in a crime, but this is really like a lesser crime, if you will, that can, since in theory they could have made it permissible, it's not so forbidden to them, and therefore after the fact, if they ate the forbidden demai, they can make a zimun on it. They must make a zimun on it. And the Mishnah says, umafrish noso arum, which means, literally, one can separate the tithes, meaning that Trumas Meiser, as well as the Kedusha of the Meiser Sheni, as well as declarations of the Meiser Rishon, or Meiser Ani, one could do that while he's naked. Now, the point of the Mishnah is that normally there's a rule that requires your machaneh, your personal private environment, to be kadosh, to be sanctified, and to not have an ervas davar to be seen, a unseemly thing. Ervas davar really is unseemly, but it has like a nakedness concept, erva, like a, you know, one's uncovered body which should only be covered. So one is not allowed to invoke Hashem's name or other davar shel kedusha in a place that has erva, unseemly, you know, naked things, and therefore that would be included in the prohibition of making a bracha while uncovered and invoking Hashem's name. But since there's no blessing required, no asher kedishana b'mitzvosav, birchas a mitzvah, of separating out the trumas meiser, etc., of demai, one could do it naked because he doesn't say a bracha, so there's no problem at all. And the Mishnah actually continues on by saying, benesh mashos, meaning a person could separate his demai while he's naked, even during Banish Mashos. Banish Mashos is the time period immediately prior to Tseis, the beginning of the onset of night time. And Banish Mashos is a time that's not clear if it's day, if it's night, if it's a bit of each. And therefore, we are treated stringently when it comes to something that is a Doraisa on Shabbos. And tithing food, if it's Vadai Tevel, certainly untithed food, is forbidden on Shabbos because it resembles the malach of Makabe Patish, because it's like the final hammer blow, because it anytime one fixes a utensil, tikkun mane, that is the prohibition. And here we're saying that making the food edible is quite similar to tikkun mane, fixing something that's broken, and therefore rabbinically tithing Vaday Tevel is forbidden on Shabbos, and it's even forbidden during Banish Mashos, because Banish Mashos, that time might also be Shabbos. But here we're saying we're lenient when it comes to Domai during Banish Mashos, since anyways, really, Minat Torah, it's Mutter as is, and not being fixed, it's just rabbinic overlay, requiring the stringency to tithe the Domai again. We allow a person to take that tithe, the Domai tithes, during Banish Mashos period, prior to the certain onset of Shabbos or Yom Tov, for that matter. Mishnah continues on. Ha im hikdim ma'aser sheni l'rishon. If a person first separates the kedusha of ma'aser sheni before declaring the ma'aser rishon to be ma'aser rishon, as part of the process of being mesakin the demai, in the process of taking the demai tithes. So normally that's the wrong thing to do. Ma'aser rishon should precede ma'aser sheni. Hence the name is ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni. But if he did it out of order with the demai, ein b'kach klum, it's no big deal. What does it mean, no big deal? Ein b'kach klum, there's nothing to it. Normally, if a person didn't do his tithing properly, for example, he took Ma'aser Sheni before Ma'aser Rishon, so then, twice in the seven-year cycle, when there's the time of the Bior Ma'aseris, the getting rid of any remaining Ma'aseris, there's also a Vidui Ma'aseris, one declares that he has done the procedure of Hafrashas properly in that time. So, and he would say, the verse requires him to say that he did everything that Hashem commanded him to do. K'chol mitzvosecha asher tzivisani. So he has to declare that, and he wouldn't be able to say he did it as Hashem commanded him if he did it out of order. That's only true, however, for taking the vadai, tevel, tithes, sheni before rishon, or other problems as well, of course. But if all he did wrong was tithe his demai out of order, taking the Ma'aser Sheni before Rishon, no problem, he can still say the Kechol Mitzvosecha Asher Tzivisani when he does his Vidui Ma'aseris as part of his Vidui HaMa'aseris when that time comes. Finally, the Mishnah says, Shemen HaGardi, the oil that a weaver uses, Sach Betzvosav, he can use that oil that's demai to anoint his fingers, so they shouldn't, you know, get too dried out or damage while he or she is working her loom and doing the spinning, the weaving. Since the rule is sicha kashtia, if one anoints himself with oil, it is as if he drank that oil, because the oil gets absorbed into the skin, into the body. So therefore, here we're requiring a person who does sicha, anointing himself, to first tithe any demai before anointing himself with that demai produce. You'll recall in the previous Mishnah, we had said that Shemen Arev, according to Beis Hillel, does not require the demai tithing. If purchased as demai, and we had a second shot in the Bar Tanura that Shemen Arev was referring to, like a salve made of olive oil as well as, you know, with aloe and myrrh, that would be standing in contrast to our Mishnah. There we said Sicha Kashti is not a problem, according to Beis Hillel, and here we're saying the Stam Mishnah saying Sicha Kashti is a problem. That's why I prefer the first shot in the Bar Tanura over there, that Shemen Arev is referring to oil that you smell, not apply to your body, the balsam oil. That would make no contradiction. If you go with the second shot, you'll have to differentiate and say a chiluk to say there's a reason why I'm using oil for medicinal purposes in the previous mission as opposed to, you know, more practical industrial purposes on your person is different. The mission finishes by saying, v'shahasorek, when it comes to one who is not applying the oil to his hands, but to the wool that he's processing. The sorek is a person who combs, cards wool, like a masrek in modern Hebrew is a comb. Nosin betzemer pater min adamai. When the sorek, the comber of the wool, applies the oil into the wool to condition the wool so it should comb well, pater min adamai, that application of the wool for industrial uses like was on the previous Mishnah, even though the oil gets destroyed, is not a problem, provided the oil is only demai and not tevel. One can use that demai oil without tithing it further, since he's not consuming it in his person, in his body. And that's permissible with regards to demai.